Now, here's where I got my first Bronze Star in Dillon.
And Dillon's, and
I was the first tank across. The engineers had laid down our bridge.
Uh-huh.
And we were sitting on the bank waiting to go across. And they told us, they came back and they said, now when you go across, go slow. Well, you know how it is with a 32-ton tank going across water. Well, as I was going across, I was probably 3/4 of the way across or so. Two German planes come in and started scraping down the river. And if you ever seen a tank go like this, you wanted to see me go on across the river. I didn't go slow. And anyway, three of the two tanks behind me. Did the two tanks? Well, I know two tanks got marred down. They got the bridge before. Our third platoon, we got all five tanks across. But two of them got marred down out in the mud. So I took my tank and I hooked three. We had cables probably, I'm going to say 15, 20 feet long.
Uh-huh.
I hooked three of them together and drug them back and hooked onto the tank out there under fire. And then I went and got back in my tank. And I got the two tanks pulled back out.
Was it you who had to get out? Who hooked up the cable?
I did.
You did?
Oh, yeah. Some of the mean other jokers wouldn't know how to hook a cable together. But anyway, I hooked the cables together and got these two tanks out that were mired in the mud. And that's where I got my first Bronze Star. And then, of course, I pulled my tank. We got in there right up in front of the store and we looted that. Now this is a picture that they took of me cutting this meat up. And it says that I killed a cow with a broken leg. Well, it didn't have no more broken leg than you and I did when I shot that cow. But this Owens, later, we had orders one night to move out. And I'm trying to think who our company commander was. I know Haggerty was my tank commander, but anyway, they told me, see, I wasn't going to move out that night. But anyway, this cousin told us that we had to move out to a certain place that night, and I said, no, I'm not going to go. I'm not taking any tanks at my tank out after dark. Then him and I went round and round, and he secured me that there was nothing down this road in front of them pillboxes, that it was all clear and out. Over Roughneck, that's where I was at when this happened. And anyway, we got down this road, and the first tank down here got hit with a bazooka, and the last tank got hit with a bazooka. And then the three in between it, I got a bazooka in the gas tank of my tank.
Hmm.
We evacuated our tanks and got out of there. And this Owens, we had to go up a hill. And we were going up this hill. And then the Germans, why they didn't shoot us when we got out of our tanks, I'll never know. Anyway, we got going up this hill, and this Owens was hit with shrapnel.
Uh-huh.
And I picked him up by the shoulder, and I must have carried him a half, 3/4 of a mile. And all he could say is, I am hitting my head. I'm hitting the head. And his ass was so full of shrapnel that you've never seen anything like it. But I carried him back to the first place.
Was he hit in the head?
No.
Oh.
It's just that he was, in such pain. That's where I got my second Bronze Star. Well, like a darn fool, I went back and grabbed a fire extinguisher and went down and tried to put the fire out of my tank. That's just how stupid I was. And anyway, I seen the Germans standing right there, just like about from here, that shit up there, away from me. Why they didn't shoot me or that, I don't know.
Hmm.
But that's just how...
Were there many of them?
Oh, yes, there was a lot of them there. Why did I grab that? That's just how I felt.
Now, Oberwampach, I think it says in there were 9 counterattacks.
Well, see, we were knocked out. See, we lost all our tanks here.
All five tanks were
knocked out, so we didn't get to go into Overwatch. See, that's, they were moving that up in there. So the 3rd Platoon, they didn't have any tanks, so we were back in reserve on that.
Oh, okay.
So the 1st and 2nd Platoon went into the town and did the rest of it. And that's why I say, I don't know how they would involve. I got my 3rd Bronze Star and Grand Star. The most important thing that I remember after the Battle of the Bulge was here when we took the Sneaker Mine.
Oh, the Marcus Salt Mine?
Yeah. I was the first tank in there. I won't say the infantry wasn't in, but I was the first tank in there, driving the first tank. And as we pulled in there, there was a train leaving. And our gunner, my gunner, Ted Duskin, we started, of course, the train was going fast, but we started running alongside or trying to catch it, and Duskin put a shell right in the engine and blew it up. Well, we pulled back to the mine, and we sat there until I don't know how long or what, not knowing what was in it. We didn't know for 2 or 3 days after. Not a, look at what some of us could have been. We could have went down in there.
Do you think the train was taking treasure away?
Well, I suppose it was taking treasure. I can't remember whether there was men on it or anything like that, but I know that instant, that gunner of mine, I'll say this much, he was a, well, I don't know whether he was a hillbilly, but he didn't get all the credit that man deserved, this Ted Duskin. He was self-conscious. He took care of that gun like, if I don't have that gun clean and this and that, it's my life or that.
Uh-huh.
He was very good about taking care of the gun, and he was a real good worker.
Uh-huh.
I loved Ted Duskin, but he was sort of like a, he come out of Virginia, but it's like he came out of the mountains or something, a backwoodsman or something. It went on for a while. And then I was sent home. Well, no, our company headquarters were bombed. Remember when they got bombed?
Yes.
I was sent back into maintenance then. And I'd been working up on the line, changing plugs and getting tanks and that. I come in one night, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And they come in and they says, Anderson, he says, what do you want? Do you want to a tech sergeant rating, or do you want to go home? I said, I thought they were joking with me, this and that, when they said that. I said, I want to go home. All right, be ready to leave in 15 minutes.
I'll be done.
I said, wait, I said, bullshit. I said, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. And then in come Kradowski, and he said, well, I understand you got, you're tired, you got points, and you go home. Well, then here come Cousins with some messages for me to do this. Lieutenant Fisher, come, here's some money you take home. Another one you take home and send it here and that. Well, anyway, I got home, came home. We came home on a boat, and there was 1,000 Krauts, 1,000 Germans, and 13 enlisted men. We got home, and, well, 5 days out in New York, D-Day came, and of course the Germans, they were going to marry American ladies, and they were going to go to school, and they were just as happy as we were that it was over with. The story goes that I finally got home, and here was a telephone call from a Mrs. Cousins. Well, when I landed in New York, I called, said I gave the wrong message to the wrong one. So here was a lady, get called, my wife in Nebraska. Of course, I live here in Illinois, but call my wife in Nebraska. I called her. She says, where's George? And all this and that. And I told him, told her the message. Well, I told her the wrong message. In other words, he had two different... He ended up in a divorce and that. But I guess then I learned from other men, I guess he had women all over.
Tell me about that 3rd Bronze Star now.
Well, let me just get you.
Okay. The citations for the Bronze Star. For heroic service in support of operations against the enemy during the period 9 to 10 December, 1944 in the vicinity of, well, that would be Dellingen, when the tanks of a platoon were mired in the marshy soil on the far side of the river, technician fourth grade Anderson, tank driver with companions, subjected himself to heavy enemy artillery and mortar fire and labored arduously to retrieve the tanks. His untiring efforts and complete devotion to duty were instrumental in saving the tanks and in enabling the platoon to accomplish its mission. His heroic service was in accordance with military tradition. The first Oakleaf cluster, for heroic service in support of operations from 15 to 19 January 1945, after helping to take the town, so that was over Wampak, was that?
Yeah.
After helping to take the town, the tank crew, of which technician 4th grade Anderson was a member, repelled 7 counterattacks. Technician 4th grade Anderson, in his capacity as driver, maneuvered his tank expertly to aid materially in destroying several hostile tanks and killing or wounding numerous enemy. His heroic service was in accordance with military tradition. And the second Oakleaf cluster, for heroic service...
That's right. Second, you're right.
Okay. I'm reading it from here. For heroic service in support of operations on 7 February 1945 in the vicinity of Brandscheid, Germany, the tank which technician 4th grade Anderson was driving was struck and set ablaze by bazooka fire. Despite heavy enemy fire and the proximity of hostile troops, technician 4th grade Anderson obtained an extinguisher and attempted to put out the blaze. Later, upon returning to friendly lines, he helped evacuate a wounded comrade to an aid station. His heroic service was in accordance with military tradition. Now, that sounds like what you were describing.
I made it myself. I was.
Okay.
The Oberwampak now is what you were referring to.
Yes, okay.
And this
I
took
gotcha.
Place
okay.
later.
Uh-huh.
I, like I say, you sit here and I was ahead of myself.
No
on
problem.
Oberwampak.
No problem. So Oberwampak is where...
I maneuvered them tanks. We, like you said now that
uh-huh.
you did that. And then the last time...
The last time, the whole platoon of tanks was...
Yeah, yeah.
Now, tell me about Oberwampak, what you remember about that.
Well, I could say all I remember is it was severe fighting and that, and I had several chances of being tank commander and all that, you know, getting the staff
uh-huh.
salary, but I felt safer down there driving and... To me, a driver was more important than a tank commander. Sure, a tank commander gave the orders and you took the orders, but still you had to have a man down there that knew how to maneuver them tanks. And I think going back through all the boys that I know, Bynum, Stahl, Pills, Bowers, and all the drivers, we had George Bussell out of Indianapolis and Ringwalski and all.
Uh-huh.
I think we all were a very good bunch of drivers. So other companies would have felt the same way about their drivers. But now you go back to this time up in the Aragon when this Quentin Bynum, better known, like you said,
uh-huh.
in Pine Valley,
uh-huh.
when he got killed, if they would have, we had a new lieutenant come in.
His name was Lippin.
Lippin.
Uh-huh.
If that's right. You know do more of these. Yeah, but
no,
this
Haggerty
Lippin,
told me about
now,
Haggerty.
This Lippin, we heard it all over the intercom. They were in the forest and the Germans were laying in artillery. Well, the shrapnel was coming down and hitting the tank. And this Lippin says, abandoned tank. And Bynum said, no, Lieutenant, that's just shrapnel. Just sit still,
uh-huh.
he said. I said, abandoned tanks. I don't know why Bynum obeyed him. But this Lippens, if he would have listened to an older man, they'd have probably all might have been left. As it was up there in Terman about 2 or 3 days later. They asked me if I'd go back and identify Bynum. I would just say you could recognize the man. He was full of shrapnel and that, and laying in the snow and that. Of course, he had his clothes on and that. He wasn't beat up. Then I went down here a few years ago. I went down and seen some of his folks. Now, I went up to Chautauqua, Wisconsin, to see Bowers' folks, and they didn't have him brought back. But when I was back in Germany here, it must have been about 17 years ago or back over there, I did go to Bowers' grave and some of them.